Welcome back, everyone, to Talking It Out with Bachelor Nation. Today on the pod, we have one of Bachelor Nation's favorites, Greg Grippo, is here to find out. Let's find out what he's up to, Mike. But at the same time, yeah. I want to get his thoughts on this finale.
We have to get his thoughts on the finale. We got to get his thoughts on I personally want to get his thoughts on the 12 Days of Messy. Want to get his thoughts on just what he's been doing with his life. You know, how's he moving on from his life? Because he is a fan favorite, but also some people have some things to say about him as well. And so just want to hear from the man himself. That's what we love doing on Talking It Out.
Most definitely. So, you know, how we first got to do it, though, we got to get into our hot takes. So, yes. Mike, I'm going to pass it along to you to take it away.
Okay. So from this week, what we just saw was wild, right? Claynos. What was another one? One of the ladies that called him like Claydo.
Claydo.
Yeah, Claydo. I love you, homie. You know, we hit each other up, but I'm about to get into it, bro. I'm about to get into it. And so the way that this entirety went down, right? I feel in my heart that Clayton is a wonderfully made human being. But my question or my hot take is, as the lead, male or woman, as the lead of the show, male or female, as the lead, how selfish can one be? Right? Because I asked that question to you, Brian, because Gabby asked a beautiful question to me, or not to me personally, but I thought it was a beautiful question, when she told Clayton, what if you were in my shoes? When Clayton was like, I want to see who I love the most.
Yikes. Yeah, that was like, I didn't think the train wreck could get any worse, but it's like every scene just compounded the situation. It was really bad, man. To answer your question, I think that I think there has to be a perfect balance, which is tough. Again, we're not in that situation, and
correct,
Clayton's mentioned that multiple times, right?
Correct.
But there has to be a mix of, yes, you are there to find your person. So yes,
correct,
there is an element of selfishness that has mm-hmm. to take place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he erred on, I think he made mistakes, plenty of mistakes along the way in not empathizing and sympathizing with the other women. You
yes.
know what I'm saying? Like,
no, for sure.
Gabby even mentioned it. You mentioned Gabby. Gabby mentions like, you don't have the decency to like take me to the side and talk to him about myself. Like, you literally just show up. Hey, ladies, this is what I got to say. This is my truth. And like, you got to accept it. It is what it is. I'm in love with Susie and my heart isn't in this room. And it's like,
that's,
you have
so
individual relationships with these women. Like, you literally told them you're in love with them. Like, at yeah. least take Gabby to the side, talk to her. You know what I'm saying? Like, apologize. Obviously, at the end of the day, there's nothing you could say at that point because you're breaking her heart and you're doing the same with Rachel. But I just think he could have used better tact in certain situations and just empathize a little bit more about what they were feeling. Like you mentioned, you know, like, put yourself in their shoes. Like, you want to go out with them as a gentleman and, you know, you want them to respect you and you want to have respect for them. And I just think he went about it the wrong way. And I'm sure Clayton will tell you, it's like, I messed up.
I'm sure
I'm an idiot.
Clayton will say he messed up.
I didn't do things correctly. And I'm sure he's looking back, he's going to say like, wow, there's so many better ways I could have handled
correct.
That.
Correct. And knowing Clayton, that's what the beautiful thing about him is. He can easily say when he did great. He can easily say when he messed up and will be better. Right. And so I love that about Clayton. Do you think that there's a double standard when it comes to the guys and girls as the lead when it comes to like the final, the fantasy suites?
In what way?
Like when it comes to if you decide to sleep with someone.
I mean, I.
Because I remember.
Let me ask you
when,
this. Do you think Clayton. Like, I feel like Susie dropped a bomb on him with that question. Like, I feel like he was trying to just get through all three without anybody asking any questions and then him making his own decision.
I mean, in a perfect world, that would have been amazing.
And then at the end of, at the last minute, she's like, wait a minute, did you say I love you to anybody or did you sleep with anybody? And I mean, you saw his face completely change.
Yeah. I do want to commend him for being honest, not withholding. With that, on that same thread of music, right? His lack of ability to hold space for Gabby and for Rachel, they were sharing their feelings and opinions, and you know how he responded to them was extremely hard to watch. Extremely hard to watch. I was like, homie, you know, we gotta do better right there. But I do commend him for going through it, right? Because that's a hard thing to have to do, to say, hey, I know what I'm about to say is gonna hurt. Now, what I'm not talking about is when he came back after he knew for certain that he wanted Susie and he had to come back again. I was like, oh my God, bro. Oh my God, don't do it. Don't do
that's
it.
What like, I'm saying, the train wreck.
I was like, oh my God, no, you did not. So at that point, it was just, if that was my sister, if Rachel or Gabby was my sister, it would be different.
But wait, there's definite points brought up by people out there that when he was on the date with Susie in Fantasy Suites, he did mention that he loved her the most. I mean, that literally came out of his mouth. So then she leaves. They have this big blowout fight. He comes back. He has these two women left. Like, do you think he kept them around to save face, because those were the only two around? It's like, then he introduces them to the parents, like has them come back, convinces Gabby to stay, goes through this whole thing, introducing them to the parents, you know, gets them invested again, and then still makes a decision like, I this is it. Like, I now realize that I love Susie. And that's why I've never believed that you could be in love with three women. Like, I never bought that from him. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, what did he come to realize? I can't live without Susie. And that's correct. How I think it correct. Should play out. It's like, which one of these women can you not see your life without? There's only one. Ask,
do you feel there's that only one. There's correct. There is only one, and we'll see what continues to unfold, right? But I think that he has found his person, and so I'm happy for the both of them. Do you think that for Clayton, he's just too nice and doesn't know how to say no? And does not like hurt, let someone down until like the last moment to where he just has to, you know, because that sometimes I found that to be true in some people, like in prior outside of the show, just in life, right? They just are really kind-hearted people and don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And then it goes to a point to where it's a point of no return. And now
it makes it worse.
Yeah, it makes it worse. You know what I mean? Have you met those type of individuals? Like, they're really nice. They're really great people. They have the right, their mind is in the right spot. Their heart is in the right place, but it was almost like Clayton filled Rachel and Gabby with adrenaline after they were already dead, hit them with some adrenaline, and then got them again. And that's just hard.
Yeah.
But I don't think I don't think it was a malintent. It was just, I don't think he didn't know how to say no. He didn't know how to say, hey.
So
I don't know. It's hard. Because I know he's not a bad person, but no, Lord have mercy,
he
looked bad.
Listen, we've interviewed Clayton. I think he's a very sweet guy. I think he has a good heart. He just may have been way over his head in this one. You know what I'm saying? Like, juggling 31 women or 31 men or whatever the case may be is not easy. Like, this isn't real life. You know what I'm saying? So it's like Jesse said, it's like, there are no rules. Like, this is your journey and this and that. So I just think there were times where he was just a little bit too honest, man. You cannot, like, if this is a teaching moment for anybody that's ever the lead moving forward, do not tell any three or two people that you are in love with them. Like, you gotta realize the magnitude of those words.
Okay, thank you. Brian almost came.
No, like, you
like
have
a
to
thunderstorm
realize,
at you for a second.
You have to realize the magnitude of what those words mean. Like,
yes.
Think about how much these people are investing in you and how much time you spend together, quality time, because at the end of the day, you know, like, you spent quality time with this person. You got to know them a little bit, and
I was about to say, don't put a number of hours on it.
What's that?
I was about to say, don't put a number of hours on it, because Katie just did.
Yeah, I mean, it's hours, but at the same time, I always like to say, like, obviously more on Paradise, but
yeah,
it's like your relationship is fast forwarded, right? You talk about things that you maybe not get into until a couple months down the line in the real world, and right, you got distractions, but like, you're getting down to the nitty gritty. You're getting to know the person on a deeper level. So I just think that he was a little too forthright. He was a little too, you know, telling his truth and being vulnerable. It's like, yes, you could be vulnerable, but don't go to that extent, because
that's a great point, bro.
There's people's hearts on the line. You know what I'm saying? I think that's where that balance comes in. It's like, you got to let these women down. I mean, you're going to break hearts, right? You're going to only be with one person who's going to be happy at the end of all this. And you just got to be empathetic towards those people that you're letting down, but at the same time, be selfish, going back to your question, you know, and making the decision that's right for you. Because at the end of the day, this is a life-altering decision.
Yeah, well, like we've said a million times before, people are going to have their say. We are a part of those people as well. And at the end of the day, if he's happy and he's still going strong with the person that he decides to pick, we're going to be happy for him regardless, you know?
Yeah.
But you just made a great point in regards to vulnerability and knowing when and when not to speak upon that. Because the love word, he should not have told all three women, I'm in love with you, and then proceeded to, you know, have relations with them. I know he knows that now, so I'm not coming down on him. But yeah, going forward, why can't people just hold that a little bit longer until you're because the question is, why couldn't you just say it when you were the mostest in love with one person?
The mostest.
Using, you know.
I wanted Rachel to say it to me, right? It's like, I wanted that. I was like, yo, if I can get that, I know I'm good. You know what I'm saying? So like, I would say it to her before, you know, she ever said it to me. I mean, she said damn, but, like in private, but
why is that? Why is that? Because I have something to in regards to that. Why did you want to hear that from Rachel?
Because of my feelings. I don't believe you could be in love. I think Clayton loved Gabby. I think Clayton loved Rachel. He was in love with Susie.
Okay, so yeah, clearly. You think you could be in love with one, but love more than one.
He finally figured that out, yes.
Okay, I
so
got
you. There was a moment in Fantasy Suite where I was like, do you love me? And she's like, yes. And I was like, no. Are you in love with me? And she said, I'm in love. So like that right there, I was like, I'm the one.
So what if she would have said she's not in love with you right now? Honestly,
I would have been sweating a little bit more than I.
But you still have been
was,
in it?
Huh?
Would you still have been in it though?
I would have asked more questions. That's for damn sure. Like
that's fair.
So what are you? Okay, so that's fine. Like I wouldn't have been like, how dare you not be in love with me? You know what I'm saying? Like there were still other people there.
Okay,
but
fair.
At the same time, I would have been like, okay, like where's your heart at? Where's your mind at? What questions you have? Do you have any concerns? Do you have any reservations about me? Like, what is it going to take?
Why do two people, Brian, have to be in love at the same time?
Why do they have to be? That might not happen.
Exactly. Like, there's been times I've been in love before. I remember the
young
lady.
So you were in love and she wasn't?
No, she was in love. I wasn't at that moment. And I didn't tell her for months later. And it was because I'm not going to say I'm in love with you until I know that you're the mostest. I mean,
but I imagine there was there follow-up questions from her? Like,
yes, which is fair. And that's why I asked you.
Okay.
Yes. And that's fair to me. I wanted to clarify and to understand you, because if Rachel didn't say, I love you, or if Clayton as the lead, I'm sure he had conversations like that with Rachel and Gabby as well in the bedroom, right? And if he didn't say it back, then that's more questions that he's going to have to answer. And so I'm just trying to understand the psychology behind it, because me, I've said it, no. I don't love you right now. That doesn't mean that I don't like you. That doesn't mean I don't want to continue to get to know you. It just means that I take that extremely serious, and I don't give a damn if you say it. What matters is that I feel it and know it in my heart before I say it.
Yeah. No, of course. You don't want your partner to basically say it when they don't really mean it, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah. And so that's why I was just asking about in regards to you and Rachel. Because now, that makes sense. Like, if I was in that position, you know, with Hannah, and I said that and I felt that, and she said, hey, I'm not in love with you right now, I can respect that. I would have also wanted to have clarifying questions as well, like you.
But at the same time, look at it from the other point of view. Like, imagine if I would have gotten the, yes, I'm in love with you, and then it's like they're saying it to other people. It's like,
no, that's where
crazy.
Rachel and Gabby go.
That's crazy.
And Susie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it's like, bro, I'd rather you just not tell me.
Right? It's like, hold that in. Like, you should only be saying that to one person. Like, I'm in love with you. That's the person you can't live without. That's the only person you'd be saying it to. Now, I wanted to bring this up to you because I've had it. I've experienced it in my life where why are some men, and this happens to women too, like why don't we realize what we have until it's gone, right? It's like he had Rachel. He was with Gabby. He expressed his love. They were intimate. And then... the third person comes up, it's Susie, and they have a blow off fight, and she leaves, and it's like, that's the one he wanted, like, because she left. Like, do you think there's anything to that? And have you ever experienced that before?
Yeah, I think it has to do with
like, is it like a challenge thing? Like,
I think it has to do with self-esteem. I think it has to do with one's, I hate using this word because it's utilized in such a negative connotation, but I think it has to do with one's ego. You know, when someone leaves, it's like, whoa, hold up. I kind of want you more now, right? It's like, oh, I'll get shitted on if I say that. We're going to have to edit that out. It's like.
No, I mean, I think it happens both ways, right?
I mean. I don't want to say it.
Dilo, vamos.
No sé. Pero, I'm about to start speaking Spanish. I think that when someone plays a little hard to get, at times, the other person may like that. At times. And I feel it's because of there's a mystique to it. And naturally, we like mystique. We want to know more. We want to unravel. We want to uncover what is that, what that is, or what that could be, possibly. And so I think that is a bit of it. I did feel that as well. Like, you felt like, but I don't know, man. It's just hard. It's hard to be the lead. It just, like, really is hard to be the lead. All of a sudden, when Susie left, now he knows that he wants Susie.
Yeah, all of a sudden, she's telling him, she asked him those questions, and it's going south as far as a conversation. They get in a blowout fight, and then it's like, wow, I just realized that she's the one I love the most.
But it goes both ways as well, because Susie had time in Iceland to, you know, think her thoughts over also. And I think that's a big thing that we have to consider. When we necessarily lose somebody, we have time to gather our thoughts, right? We have time to really think about, hey, is it Gabby that I really like? Is it Rachel that I really like? Or is it Susie that I really like? And for Susie, do I really want to end my relationship with my future husband? You know what I mean? Yeah. For this thing that he did.
I guess.
And so I think that we just get more time to think about things.
Yeah. And I mean, playing Monday morning quarterback and, you know, hindsight, whatnot, 2020, I wish Gabby would have left that first time, right? Like, just left. I mean, granted, I know she said she
Gabby
had to
was
see
so
it through.
Awesome to me. Awesome.
I mean, did Gabby solidify Bachelorette right there? Like, I thought, I was like, wow.
Can we get a hand clap for Gabby?
Complete Bachelorette material. I mean, like, every, you know, comeback that she threw at Clay.
It was awesome. It was great. It was logical.
I was like, you go. Yes. It was logical. Very logical. It was logical. She wasn't raising her tone. She was telling him, like, how it was. And he had to eat it. And I felt good for her. What's that?
He ate it well. He did.
Yeah. I mean, well, his heart was somewhere else. He had no choice, right? I really feel bad for Rachel. I mean, I feel like, have you ever had that person in your life where it's like, they would love you till the end of time? Like,
yeah,
I feel like
Rachel. Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, the way I saw it, I don't know if anybody else saw it like this, I think Rachel loved him the most. Like, she was the most down for him. And obviously you could tell how heartbroken she was, how devastated she was when she left. But the heart wants what the heart wants, right? I mean, at the end of the day, he saw that. He saw all that emotion from her and was like, there's just something missing. It's just not there. And I've been in those situations.
There's nothing wrong for Clayton doing that at all.
No, there isn't. There isn't. Again, the heart wants what the heart wants. And this is his journey, and he gets to choose whoever he wants to choose. But yeah, it just sucks.
At the end of the day, as the lead, you can be selfish, but you just have to convey your words properly and be cognizant of others' emotions.
Yes, and realize the magnitude of words like, I'm in love with you, I love you, obviously sleeping with another person, like that impact, how much that mattered at the end of the day.
Bro, I don't know if I'm not in the lead's position, so it doesn't matter what I have to say about that, but.
Like, how would you have handled that? Like, would you wanted Susie to establish the boundaries prior to going in the fattest Spanish
If Susie
suites?
Was the bachelorette or if I was the bachelor? Which one?
If you were the bachelor, like, would you, what Clayton was basically complaining about in their fight, like, Susie would have came up to you prior to fantasy suites and said, Mike, just giving you a heads up, I love you, I'm in love with you, but be smart in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Like, if you really want this and us to work, like, I mean, basically set an ultimatum.
Well, baby, we not giving me no ultimatums. That's you ain't giving me no ultimatum. That's not happening. I'm gonna make a dumb decision on my own, or I'm making an intelligent decision. Like,
okay.
Like, we're no. I would appreciate, you know,
knowing where she stood.
My ladies, you know, giving me their thoughts, where yeah. they stand at, and then allowing me to make a decision. Right. No, but an ultimatum. I mean, I appreciate it. But I think what I mean by double standards, I brought it up earlier on our season. We had Luke P. Right. He kind of said the same thing that Susie said, but he got treated a completely different way.
Mm. What was it that he said? He basically said, Hannah,
if you sleep with anybody else, I mean, that's what he said. It was the same thing. And, you know, that's why I'm asking the question about double standards. But if I was the lead and one of the ladies, Susie, let's say she was one of the ladies, had told me that, I would absolutely listen to her. And I feel like I would know that already. Like,
you would have known if she was the one or not.
No, I would have known if I'm sleeping with all, girls gonna talk, right?
Yeah.
They gonna talk. It's a fact, right? You as a man, bro, you should just know that. They gonna talk. And so therefore, you don't need to be sleeping with everybody. That's just how I feel about the situation.
I mean,
but I do feel this way. Because this is just a funny point. If we got to get into it, because I want to really talk to our guest. If I was one of the contestants and the lead has slept with all three, I feel bad for the other two homies because she's going to pick me. You feel me? Next point.
No, listen. I mean, could it have been a situation where Clayton was just a horny man at that point?
No, I'm not going to even let that enter the conversation. I'm not going to
like,
even let it enter.
He mentioned he compartmentalizes like every relationship.
He did say that.
Like,
he did.
It's like when I'm with Gabby, it's like we're together. When I'm with Susie, it's like we're together. So it's like he had amnesia. What happened the other 2 days? It's like I'm just going to deal with her. Like, but she's my woman.
But see, this is why I asked the question. When you say that, I'm thinking about, is Clayton just a really nice guy, doesn't know how to tell somebody no? Because
I just think he was a guy that said, look, I'm going to be vulnerable. Apparently he got the go ahead to quote unquote explore the relationships, right? So he went all in. He dove all in to every single woman that was there at the end.
Which is great. Like, production loves that. Production loves for him to go after, you know, and explore all those options because he is the lead. He's trying to find his love. That's what he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
It's just the words that he used afterwards. I'm trying to see who I'm in love with the most. That line had me. I'll never forget that. That's ingrained in my brain.
And it's like, you know, you got to think with the upstairs.
The ultra cabeza.
The other cabeza. You just got to think anticipation like that. You got to think in anticipation. It's like, okay, if Susie was the one and you knew that.
He didn't know that. I feel.
So you think he had no idea, like at that point, he was that confused about all three. And then after
he met. Some people can be confused, bro.
So after he introduced Gabby and Rachel to his parents.
He said no.
The epiphany came to him. It was like, I just realized that I can't live without Susie.
Correct.
So it was at that point.
Just quick question. I want someone to do this. And, you know, one of the listeners, if you have the time, check this out. Out of like the last 5 to 10 leads, do they pick the person who is absolutely like head over heels for them, like Clayton and Rachel, for example, or Brandon for Michelle, right? Do the leads go away from the person that's like just stupid head over heels for them? Like overtly, like visibly seeing it, because the other people can be head over heels as well. I'm sure Susie is head over heels for Clayton, but it wasn't like overtly seen, right?
Yeah. Yes. Like we said, we saw it more with Rachel.
Yeah, we saw it more with that individual. So I don't want to disrespect nobody, but I'm pondering that. But like I said, bro, I want to speak to the homie. We got to bring Greg in. He's been.
Let's get his thoughts.
MIA for a while, so I want to bring him in and get his thoughts. I call him Mr. 90s Boy Band Manager. Let's do it.
What's up, Greg? It's been a minute, man. How you been?
Been a long time. What's going on?
Hanging, man. Too bad.
Greg's
good,
so calm.
Good to see you.
Greg's in a great place right now, I feel like. He's just, hey, I'm chilling.
I am. I'm at my mom's house right now. I'm just chilling.
Okay. Nice.
Not talking about mom's house.
Yeah, talk about mom's house, where you are right now.
I'm in Edison, New Jersey right now.
New Jersey.
That's where you're from originally?
Yeah. born and raised.
Nice. You're out in LA now? You live out with Andrew, right?
No, Andrew was hyping that a lot. I mean, we were testing at the Waters out there in LA.
So wait, you guys are not roommates?
No, you know what? As of right now, no, but we did live together for that month. I mean, I love living with him. And then he just came and spent 2 weeks with me in New York. But he has a lot going on right now. He's doing Bachelor Live on stage. He just accepted a coach to be assistant coach in Chicago. So like, he has a lot going on in his place.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations to him. Yeah. Definitely so. We want to get into you though, Greg. It's been forever since we've seen you on. I know in the past I've called you like the 90s guy. You just give me, you should have been on every 90s show. I just feel like, I think I've told you that in person a couple of times as well. But definitely happy to have you here. We're going to talk about Clayton's episode. We have to. This week was a wild one. But we want to get to know a bit about you, just your time on The Bachelorette and what you went through. So just starting off, why did you even go on the show?
Oh man, you know, my sister submitted me, Samantha, about 4 years ago. I first got a call for Becca Kufrin's season. I was young as hell then. And
how old were you then?
I think I was 23.
Okay.
And yeah. I was in my acting studio at that point, and they gave me a call. It was like my first month of school. And I thought it was a prank that my buddies were pulling at first. And I just like told them like, I like told them right off the bat, I'm like, I'm way too young for this. I'm not in a place to be like getting engaged right now. Just kept in contact with the casting director. She kept on calling me about each and every year. It got to Claire's point and COVID hit. Then they called me back for Katie's, and then there I was.
Nice. And I feel like you were one of the more polarizing guys on that season. What was life like? What's that?
If you want to call it that.
Yeah. What was life like immediately after your time on the show?
I mean, I had my ups and downs. You know, it was, it had moments when it was cool, but I do like, you know, as I get older in age, like I am discovering, I feel like I am a little bit more of an introvert, with people I guess necessarily don't know. You know, I definitely am more reserved, in social settings, and until I'm like with my boys or people like I really like know, then like that side of like my extrovert side comes out. But you know, it was a little bit weird, you know, because I feel like sometimes you kind of have to like put like on a show for people, you know, they kind of want to act you to act mm-hmm. like in a certain way. And like, if you don't act that way, people will like be walking away, like saying I'm a dick or something.
Or it's more like fans.
Yeah. A little bit like that. You know, it's just, that was tough. You know, of course, just like if I'm like standing in a bar, like I've gotten this my whole entire life that like I had like this sad boy look. So like even like all throughout like college, like people would like always be like, you know, what's wrong at a party? And I'd be like, shit, well, I don't nothing. Like I'm chilling.
I'm good.
Like,
bro,
do they expect
living.
You to have like this huge smile on your face 24/7 or something? Or
I'm not too sure. I mean, I appreciate if like people are like asking like genuinely like something's wrong, but like most of the time there's not.
Do you have any example that you can think of to where a fan encounter that you had to where they asked you something just completely off the wall?
You know, I don't think it's as much as what they asked me is like immediately when I was off the show. I think what I had trouble with was like if like, you know, Andrew and I and the guys were like at a bar, I feel like fans sometimes they can like get like a little handsy. And like, sometimes I just like didn't feel comfortable with it. and like, I think that was like the hardest part of it. It's just like being in like a social setting and just like, you know, people just like, you know, feeling entitled to like grab you or something.
Why is that?
Can you elaborate on that? Cause as a man, we don't get to hear that side. I would love it if you can elaborate on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's at times like granted, like, yeah, I know we were on the show and like, and I mean, I've had like discussions with like Andrew and like the guys, like, you know, I feel like there's some people that like immediately like go off the show and like, there's like this thing where like people like call it fame. Like, I don't think it's fame. Like, it's not like we're like, you know, NFL players or anything. Like,
yeah.
I consider us, yes, like maybe like we're popular in the social setting, but it's not like this, like, we're not like Harry Styles or something,
Correct.
You know? So like, it's not like I can like go to like any club I want and like cut the line. So I'm just like, I'm trying to go back to my everyday life and go to the damn bar and like chill in the corner. So like when we do stuff like that, it's either like sometimes like people come up and like we'll try to like be as approachable as possible, and like, you know, we always appreciate when people like, you know, come up and introduce themselves. But like some at some point, like, you know, when like the night goes on, there are people that definitely like get handsy and like try to like, you know, fall all over you. And it's just, it gets to be a lot sometimes.
I totally feel that, because I remember, like, would they do that to like a Leonardo DiCaprio? I feel like that would not happen, right?
Right.
But for reality stars or, you know, people on reality TV, I feel like maybe they watch your journey and they feel more relatable to you or something like that, and they just feel like they can come up. Like, I remember at a Dallas Mavericks game, somebody literally just jumped in front of Rachel and like, oh my God, Rachel Lindsay. And it's like,
I can only
lady,
imagine,
like, calm everybody. Down. Like, we don't know you. Like, you can't just put your hands on people like that. So I'm sure that's happened.
No, I love that you said that, man. I think that I've spoken about this before in a podcast, to where women can be extremely handsy as well towards men, but I'm glad that you said that. So I thank you, because it doesn't get brought up a lot. And then you were mentioning just, hey, sometimes you just want to go to the bar and just, you know, kick it in the corner. So let me ask you about, man, after the show, you were spotted out with Bree, right? Bree Springs. And that was a huge moment in time. How has your like dating life been since? Because you know, you get noticed. That was a big thing right there. How's that for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that put into perspective right away about what dating life would be like after the show. I mean, granted, it's, you know, it's not going to be like that for the rest of my life. You know, I just like, you know, when everyone gets off, like, I understand it's like when you're relative and relevant. It's just, I think with people's intentions, you know, it's like with like the DMs, like, I don't really check my DMs like that. And it was tough because, you know, it's not like you could go on like these dating apps and and like feel like, you know, it's hard not to feel like you're going to get recognized on like these dating apps and like, or screenshotted and like put on TikTok or something, you know. It's just with like receipts nowadays, it's like, Jesus.
Cloud chasers.
But, you know, definitely I went on a couple dates through friends of friends. I kept it relatively like low key on that end and dating front. And
I'm glad that you're here, Greg, because you're saying everything that be on my mind is like another single guy. Are you dating right now?
Yeah. You know what? I am. I found someone that I've been dating. She lives in Paris though. So
long distance. Okay.
Yeah. It's been tough. You know, there's a 6-hour time difference. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to anyone.
Don't recommend it.
How hard it is. But you know what? I'm a sucker when it comes to like, you know what, when you find like a good woman, it's, you know, sometimes you do crazy things, and I've been trying to work it out. I'm not saying it's the easiest thing in the world, but I've been giving it a shot just because, you know, she's a really good person.
And what does a good woman look like to Greg Rippo? Like, what are the qualities about her that, you know, make you want to be exclusive with her?
You know, I think it's different for everyone. You know, for me, I'm at a time in my life where I really don't like going out that much. And I want to be able to kick with someone, and I want to be able to have fun. And I think the most important thing of what I found with dating is I want to be able to compliment one of each other. I don't want to rely on another person. I want her to make me better in different aspects and vice versa. I want us to learn, grow every single day. And I feel like that's rare to come by sometimes.
It definitely is. No doubt. This is my last question on that, man. Since we won't be able to see you in Paradise, you know, because it's going to be a lot of ladies that are going to be sad about that. Everyone loves the locks that you have and that 90s boy feel. Right?
who in the 90s are you talking about?
I don't know. Greg just gives me 90s. Like, he's like, when I think of the 90s, I can literally see Greg's face right there. Put on a denim jacket on him, and I'm like, there he goes.
Like a Zach Morris, like from the 90s?
I
like,
literally can't pinpoint a certain individual. I just see him there. Like, okay. I see him being, if I was a casting director and I needed the male lead, I'm picking Greg. Like, I don't know how else to say that. He doesn't remind me of one in person.
The 90s heartthrob. Gotcha. Okay.
Definitely. But Greg, man, are you still living in New York? Are you in Jersey today with your mom, or where are you at?
Yeah, you know, I'm back and forth all the time. But, you know, it's, I don't even know what to call my base, if it's Jersey or New York. But I mean, I have an apartment in New York in Hell's Kitchen, but I'm here in Jersey. I spend half the time with my mom.
Okay. How often do you go to Paris?
Like I said, it's tough. You know, I've been there only once, and we haven't seen each other now for a little over a month now. So, you know, it's definitely tough on that end. A
lot of FaceTime, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Sure.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, hoping the best for you, homie, on that front.
Absolutely.
So, if you need like a travel buddy to go to Paris with you, I got you. Like, I got
hell
a passport. He said, "Hell yeah, let's go, let's go." What? So, we told you told us a little about Andrew. What you know, he just got a position in coaching, which is phenomenal. What is something that you're working on? Something that you know you've been working on lately?
You know, I'm really, you know, I said on the show that, my dad passed of cancer. I really,
sorry
you know,
to hear that.
No, I appreciate it. But the closest guys I'm with is Mike P, Justin, and Andrew. We've really been focusing on trying somehow, some way to, you know, with the platform that we received, like to give back somehow. I really want to start a charity in my father's name somehow, some way in this next year. I have other goals in mind that I keep close to my chest, but I think my biggest one is starting a charity in my dad's name.
I love that. And
very cool. Very cool.
Can you speak more on that? How your father passed? It was cancer, right? Because that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. He had liver cancer. He battled it for about 9 to 10 months.
Wow.
Went through different diets with him. We went the whole holistic route with him.
Okay. The holistic route. How was that? How did he receive that? Was he okay with that?
Yeah, you know, the doctor didn't give him much time. The doctor kind of like came in right off the bat. He was just like, he has maybe 3 weeks left. And then, you know, we did a lot of research. You know, I was reading up on stuff as much as I can. And we like completely like went vegan with him. All I was doing was like going on a juicing diet with him and like other holistic remedies. But yeah, it was tough, but he was definitely a fighter throughout it.
And how did he handle all that stuff? Like, did you see any improvement at the time? Because I mean, that interests me a lot. Like people that actually go away from, let's say, a chemotherapy and go that route, you know, where they just go all natural and try to beat it a holistic way.
Yeah. You know, his tumor right off the bat, it actually started shrinking in size. You know, wow. he was off his pain meds. But you know, the thing with my dad is, you know, he started losing a little bit of weight and I feel like getting to him a little bit just mentally. I feel like, you know, mind over matter is one of the most important things when you're battling something like cancer.
Yeah.
It just got too strong for him and like, he just couldn't fight it off.
I'm sorry to hear that. I think that, one of the things I love the most about this platform that we have, is the good that we can do. And so for you, Justin, Andrew, Mike P, to be trying to come up with something is just an amazing thing right there. So, you know, shout out to y'all. If I can help any way, like legit hit me up. I know that I read somewhere your parents were married for 35 years. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like amazing. That's dope.
Long time. Yeah. They set the bar high for me for sure. You know, I woke up when I was about 10 years old. I'll never forget. He would always every single Sunday bring, you know, pastries home from the bakery, and he'd just be spinning my mom around like in the kitchen dancing with her. So like, they definitely had such a fun love and definitely set the bar high for me.
And what did you learn? Like, what else did you learn from watching them and just their love story?
You know, up? I think that like, you guys can just like never stop growing. I feel like they just went through so many stages of life together. What was really like fun in my opinion is that they would always travel nonstop. They wouldn't necessarily bring me, but looking back on it, I mean, damn, they deserve it. You know, after like raising four kids, like go have your like 2 weeks in like Ireland or something. They would do so much fun, like, you know, things together.
So awesome. Always date is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yes. Travel, so, date. Yep.
Yeah.
So you mentioned like they set the bar high, which 35 years and counting, of course, you know, they're definitely setting the bar high. What are some things, are you like when you date, if you see a red flag, do you immediately pull back or you try to work through it? How are you when it comes to dating in that regard? Because your parents like are amazing.
Yeah. You know, I definitely have gone through different stages in dating. I feel like on my younger years, if I saw a red flag, I feel like I would have just been out immediately. But now I definitely feel like I have more patience at this day and age. You know, I definitely date with intent now. And if something does come up, you know, it's, and I mean, a lot of self-reflection will do this to you. I mean, nobody's perfect. So like everyone, I feel like, has like different red flags and other people's opinions. So like, it's just working through it at the end of the day.
And did you, obviously having the great model in your parents, did you talk to them often, you know, whenever you had a situation with a woman, in your dating life?
You know, not so much my dad, but my mom. Yeah. My dad was like really more of like the coach in my life. And like, we never crossed that barrier where it was like more of like my emotional life, but my mom would always be the one who like I told everything to.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is that relationship stronger now?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have been able to gone through what I went through if it wasn't for her. And I feel like vice versa. I mean, you know, I still come home, you know, 3 times a week because of her. You know, we're just so close. We're close knit in that aspect, and we bring each other up in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And family's the most important thing to me. So I just feel like, you know, I know she's always got my back. So I always wanted to be there for her.
Love that, man. Look, you winning some fans over. I'm telling you that right now. Like, they weren't already in love with you. They definitely going to be in love with you now, man. Talking about the fans, have you been watching Clayton season?
Yeah, I've watched this week's episode, yeah.
Definitely, man. We know that you're no stranger to controversial endings, right? Right. With your time with Katie, what advice would you give to Clayton and all the things that he's dealing with this aftermath that he'll have?
Yeah, you know, it's a good time to, you know, be surrounded by the ones that you love. And, you know, I'm sure he's doing a lot of self-reflecting. I'm sure, you know, he's facing, you know, I see it like online, he's facing, you know, a lot of controversy and, you know, and he's getting held accountable for things that he's saying and doing in these episodes. But, you know, I would think the biggest thing is just, you know, reflecting on how you can be better. You know, us as people and individuals, you know, we can always grow. And, you know, I hope that he can just like take this time to just, you know, grow as just like a human being. You know, it's just the most important thing right now. You know, we can all just do better in different ways.
Yeah. And speaking of the controversial endings, I mean, you obviously had a significant, you know, blowout fight or whatnot, as did Clayton.
Yeah.
And Clayton's actually been accused of gaslighting, which is a word that we've seen thrown around a lot nowadays. And we saw you being accused of the same thing. After the final rose, what have you learned from that experience, and how do you compare and contrast what you and Clayton both went through?
All I know is that in this time that they're in right now, you know, when it comes to that bottom three stage, you know, emotions are completely high through the roof. And sometimes your emotions get the best of you. And I don't, you know, for me, that was, when I watched it the first time before I went on stage with her, I really didn't see it through her eyes. And after I saw how upset she was, and then when I watched it live, you know, with the viewers, like it wasn't just because everyone was getting on me. When it was happening live with me, and like after I was trying to understand what point of view she was coming from, I was really upset watching it and like trying to see it through her eyes. And I think the most important thing is for him to just like, in order to self-reflect, you have to, I think, put yourself in someone else's shoes sometimes. I think that's the most important thing for him to do.
Dude, that was,
we were just talking
brilliant
about that, Mike.
Yeah, we really were. That was brilliant, Greg. Like, I love that right there. Seriously, I think this show does a great job of, if you allow it, allowing us to grow as just human beings, right? I feel like that's not what gets the clickbait, right? Oh, look how awesome Greg is. He's been great the entire time, but now we get to see every single thing about it, right? What gets the clickbait, sadly, is, you know, the other shit, right? And so I didn't know you prior to, you know, I met you like once or twice now, and our encounters have always been great, but that response right there, man, was just amazing right there. I think that you have wonderful things coming to you in your future, and hopefully you get to see this Paris girl again.
Yeah, you know, I hope so. You know, you never know, but we'll see. She's a great girl, so I'm definitely trying to be optimistic about it all.
Nice.
Speaking of girls, man, what what is this whole Grippo Girls situation? Like, what is that about? Like, when did you first learn about it? What does it mean to you? Talk to us about that.
I just gotta say, it's pretty flattering. You know, just to have people like that support you in general. You know, it's been such like a lift up for me in my life. To have like people like that at my corner that like believe in you and all, and just like, you know, want to see you succeed. It's definitely helped me through the hardest times of my life throughout this all. And you know, I first learned about it, I think, midsummer, in the midst of Katie season. And I felt like it was like a joke at first, but then I feel like people like turned it into like something serious, but it's been fun. It's been fun to just like get to know the fans and having that support.
Shout out to the Grippo Girls, man.
Nice. Yeah,
shout out to the Grippo Girls. Create some merch right quick. It'll sell out. Sell out on the first day. I have to ask, you know, talking about the girls, we know that you are a taken man, but with Justin, Mike, Andrew, who would they want to see in paradise?
You know, Andrew, he hasn't been shy of vocalizing, you know, who caught his eye right off the bat. And, you know, Teddy definitely caught his eye, you know, immediately the moment that she was on. I could tell you that, like, his attraction with her is there. So I'm definitely excited to see if, you know, something sparks there in paradise between them. And you also never know, you know, when you meet someone in person, it can be totally different. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah, sure, sure.
At the end of the day. But, yeah, I mean, Justin – Justin's a different one as well. You know, he's a picky guy, and I'm really interested to see, I'm interested to see who Justin would end up with. You know, it's definitely somebody with a lot of energy, for Justin, somebody that could definitely match his energy.
Wait, does Justin have more energy than Andrew?
You know, they have, I, no, no.
He said no. Cause I've been around Andrew. That boy is wild. He's like,
yeah, no, he is. He is wild. Yeah. I think Justin's a little grade below him in terms of energy, but still up there.
Yeah. And Mike. Yeah.
You know, I don't think Mike would go on unless he truly sees someone, you know.
I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Who would that person be though for him?
Did somebody tell us this the other day?
What?
Like just somebody with his same values and things like that?
Exactly. Yeah.
I want to know who it would be though.
Yeah, you know, I know Mike's still looking. So there isn't anyone that's set in stone right now. I know he's still looking. I guess we'll see.
Do you feel, Greg, that what's the etiquette in your idea? Like, I know what my thoughts are on etiquette when it comes to potentially going to paradise and then like hitting her up in the DM, or should you wait? Like, what is Greg's etiquette if that were to, if you were to go? Like, we know you're not going, but like if you were, would you hit her up prior to and knowing you're going to be on paradise, or how does that go for you?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't hit up anybody. I think that.
Good idea.
And also like what happened.
Yeah. Like, you already saw the disaster that turned into
paradise. But I truly just believe, you know, some of the best things in life, you know, come organically. So like and I really just like, I feel like putting, you know, a feel out there on a DM, squashes that in a way. And I feel like the spontaneity and just like something organic, it would make that much more of a connection. So I would just, you know, if anybody's going to go, just go see what happens from him.
Do you think that Andrew should have listened to that piece of advice when he DM'd Teddy?
Did he DM Teddy?
I don't know.
That's what's been going around, I guess.
I don't know.
He said, oh, geez, I don't know. He got red for a second. Oh, geez, I don't know. That's too funny.
So, Greg, what... Like at the end of the day, what did you like? What's the overall learning experience? Like, what did you learn from the show at the end of the day? Like, looking back,
you know, I think, you know, what, especially like this week, especially like stuff that's just like happening personally with like, you know, either whether it's like a friend or a family, you know, I think I'm really understanding, as easy as this may sound, is just that you just can't please everyone.
Say it again for people in the back.
I think that was hard for me to understand right off the bat, you know, immediately, even just like my first couple episodes, it was hard to just like receive criticism just like right off. And I feel like I didn't even do anything at that point. It just, even when it comes to that, just do what makes you happy. You know, you're not going to please everyone and you just have to be okay with that.
1,000% agree.
We have on our episode, we drop a gem on every episode. I think that might have been your gem right there.
I'm glad I could drop a gem.
Okay, cool. Like, seriously, that's one of the hard. I was talking to my friend of mine. I would, you know, love your advice on this to my friend and everyone out there. He was asking Mike. He has the opportunity to go on a reality show, kind of similar to The Bachelor when it comes to dating. And we had a very honest and candid conversation. My thing was, hey, if you can't, like the mental health aspect, like if it's not, if you feel like you can't deal with that or do not want to deal with that, I say don't do it, right?
Yeah.
For you, what would you say to people that say, hey, Greg, you know, I have an opportunity, it's a freaking awesome opportunity, should I do it or not? What would you say that the three questions they should ask themselves are?
If it's for The Bachelor specifically?
Just in any reality love show.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely ask them, you know, are you in a place just to date in general? Are you happy with your life? And do the pros outweigh the cons in your opinion on going on? I mean, for me, I feel like if anything, not going on Claire's season, because I was initially going to go on, and taking a step back and having an extra year helped me so much, because just at the time when I was 26, I thought I was ready for something like this. And I would have been worried looking back on it, me, you know, experiencing that at 26 as opposed to 27, just like how far you can just leap in a year.
What did you learn about yourself in that year?
You know, I think it was, it was still just going through the grief of my father in a sense as well. And, you know, I held a lot of guilt moving out from home just because everyone had, I'm the youngest of four and everyone has, you know, children now and their wives or husbands. And it was hard for me to move out, but I know, you know, the type of life I want to live. And I know, like, I want to, you know, be engaged in hopefully the next few years. I know in order for me to do that, I had to move out of my mom's house. So it was a hard leap for me to make, but just like I was saying before, you know, you got to do things that make you happy.
When you say you feel, completely agree there. That mm-hmm. kind of went into our hot take earlier that Brian and I had before you came on, man, when we were talking about as being the lead, how selfish can one be? And I think our answer, Brian and I, was like, you have to be happy at the end of the day, but at the same time, be cognizant of others' emotions.
Right.
You said you had some guilt when you moved out. What year was that?
So I moved out. It wasn't this past November. So I'm going on about a year and a half now.
So it's 2020?
2020, yeah.
Okay. So that's okay. So are you saying you held guilt because for your mom and like
yeah,
after your dad's
yeah,
passing?
I felt like in a way like, you know, it was like I was almost abandoning her in a way. Gotcha. When in a sense, all I was really trying to do was just grow. But it was hard for me to really not feel like I was abandoning her in a way.
My cousins and I talk about that often.
Yeah. It's often which what brings me back, you know, every other day.
Definitely. And Greg, I mean, you mentioned siblings all married with kids.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. you're the only one not married with kids. So do they ever give you like any ribbing, like, hey, when are you going to get married? Because I know that comes a lot from family members sometimes.
Yeah, you know, they don't pressure me in any way, but I definitely sometimes, you know, subconsciously, I feel like do feel the pressure in a way because, you know, when I have children, I want them to be able to grow up with my, grow up with like my nieces and nephews. Yeah. And like, I feel like they're just going to be in high school, my nieces and nephews. And like mine will just be like, I don't know, maybe 5 years old, getting their butts whipped.
Hey, same, bro. Same on the same boat right there. I gotta ask this before I let you go. Is there anything that you wish the audience got to know about you while you were on the show?
You know, I feel like my funny side wasn't shown as much. And like, I understand that because like most of my moments on the show, especially with Katie at the time, you know, I definitely felt like really insecure. But I wish, you know, sometimes my funnier side with like the guys and our friendship definitely was shown more. But I feel like people are starting to learn that now.
Yeah.
As like they like as they follow us and like understand that more.
And one last little T note here. Any thoughts on the 12 days of Messi as seen by Katie Thurston? Any thoughts on that?
No, you know, she I know it was like more of like a joke in her eyes. But it was definitely maybe opening up some old wounds for some. You know, I'm happy for her though. You know, she found something with John, so good for her.
She definitely did. I saw her the other day, her and John, and I was just happy for him. Her and my sister, yeah. They had a little drink together, so I was like, hey, cool.
For sure, for sure. Yeah.
Definitely, man. Well, I appreciate having you. Can't wait to see what you, Mike, Justin, Andrew do with the foundation.
Charity,
I think that's an amazing
thing. Appreciate that, guys. Thank
hoping you. For you know, nothing but greatness out of Paris. I refuse to go back unless I got somebody with me because that freaking city is just like a relationship zone. Sad really, by yourself. really so, you know, hoping the best for you there, man. And hit me up if I can help you in any way.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
All right, Greg. Take care, buddy.
Yo, Brian, I love so many points that Greg brought up that we haven't even spoke about on Talking It Out. One of the first ones being that he gets, you know, women grab up on him, right? That's a conversation that we haven't had yet. And it happens so much. It's so annoying. No. And I'm glad that he
I'm sure it happens to you. Hasn't it happened to you at some point?
Yeah, but we're talking about Greg here. Like, yeah, women grab things and be like, I'm like, yo, you just can't grab my Mr. Johnson.
You
like
literally just assaulted me. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like it happens. It's like, come on now. But he seems to be in such a tranquility.
Yeah, like, he's very chill.
He's very chill, very like. Calm. It sounds as if he's grown so much with after the passing of his father, rest in peace, to moving out of his mom's house to just his time on the show and how he was, you know, what he had to deal with the aftermath. I loved having him on. How about you?
Absolutely. And just the way he described about the type of woman that he wants, where he at, where he's at as far as a stage in his life. He kind of just wants to chill. He's not, you know, trying to be out there on the scene and, you know, be all out there. So, you know, the guy just wants to, it seems like he just wants to live his life. He's in a relationship now. So unfortunately, the ladies won't see him at Paradise. You know, anything can happen, but.
I'm about to say anything can happen, but they won't be seeing him at Paradise. Then he brought up another great point, man. Like and this is hard for me because so many people say so many negative things about the show. We just had Shanae on last week, right? You know how many DMs I got?
Oh my God.
That were like just the most ruthless things.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we're doing is a good thing, allowing people to talk. And we hear from the horse's mouth, so there's no rumors, right? And so, like Greg was saying, just the mental health aspect, right, of coming off of the show and just the things you have to deal with. He said if it wasn't for his mom, you know, she was everything for him at that time. And so I think that's just something that we need to actually pay attention to.
1,000%, man. And I mean, not only for Greg, obviously he went through a lot during his season, but I mean, giving grace to the four people that were going through this on this show, Susie, Clayton, Gabby Rachel. And Rachel. I mean, all of them must have some type of like PTSD because what they went through, that was crazy.
Well, I think that Clayton spoke about it.
I just hope that, you know, people, Clayton was talking about people sending him death threats in the DM, and I think it's just despicable. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are human beings. You know what I mean? Like, they're flawed, just like every single one of us. Nobody's perfect. And, you know, they're just doing the best they can. And not to go at them. You know, you might disagree with some of the things and decisions that Clayton made or whatever the case, the way he spoke to Susie, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, you know, they all have good hearts and are good people, in my opinion. So
definitely so. Clayton is a great individual, Greg. The ladies are as well. And like Greg said, to anyone listening, he didn't say this specifically. He said, you know, be around family, be around loved ones. That's where it's at. Be around loved ones. Be around love. If you love trees, go hug a tree. Yes, I said that.
those are the true opinions that matter, right?
Definitely so.
I mean, but not the faceless troll.
Not the faceless trolls. Greg dropped some gems. Brian, what's your gem for today?
Man, I actually saved this the other day because just so happened to kind of tie in It may be off, but it may be on. I don't know. So here's how it goes. A disagreement with a toxic partner will turn into an argument that turns into a bigger problem. A disagreement with a divine partner will turn into a conversation that will lead to change behavior or solution. It's important that you know the difference.
Preach, so, my brother. Preach.
You know, we don't know where Clayton is right now, but, you know, I guess that's definitely may apply here. So we'll see.
You've opened up a can of worms with that one right there, my brother. Like, oh, my God. You know how many conversations as of late that I've had with some friends of mine in regards to just, do you want to be in a relationship to where you can't tell your partner a thought that crossed your mind? Or do you want to be in a relationship to where
tell them anything.
You know off back, if you have a thought that she or he's not going to like, you can't say it.
No, you want to be able to be as open as possible with your partner. Like, your partner should be the person that you can tell anything to.
I agree with that. It's just something that I think that sometimes we need reassurance and we need to hear again. A lot of things in life, we know, but sometimes we need to be reminded of those things. Yeah. And so we're going to talk about that's a whole episode. Like, don't that's the entire episode. My gem of the day, though, is it's simple. The things that you desire in life, it truly is simple, but know that it's not easy, right? It's simple. Your body, Brian, you know, is phenomenal, right? I think it's phenomenal. And
I appreciate that, bro.
It's not easy to do, but it's simple to follow, right? You could text me right now offline, Mike, this is exactly what I did, right? Am I going to do it or not? And I think a lot of people need to give themselves grace, but at the same time, take action. We always talk about giving grace. I want to talk about taking action as well. Most of the things that we want, we could literally Google how to do. That's the day and age that we live in. Give yourself grace, but also, baby, I need you to know you got to take action.
Yeah. Massive action. I always go back to Tony Robbins. He's like, you got to take massive action. If you want something, you have to take massive action and just go for it. Enjoy the journey, right? I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, nothing easy is going to happen overnight. You just got to take it day by day and just work for it. And, you know, you fast forward a year down the line, you look back, you're going to see so much growth.
And the only way that we're going to grow is by, we are going to change. We're going to become a different person. We are. Like, if I want to get your body, I'm not going to be going out. It's just what it is.
Yeah. Or the alcohol. The alcohol is important, or see, lack thereof.
See.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We appreciate you all. We love you all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us all your opinions and your thoughts on the episodes. We absolutely appreciate each and every one of you. And before I pass it over to Mike, I got to remind you guys once again, you guys could find the love of your life because The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are casting right now. So you got to go to bachelornation.com/apply. That's bachelornation.com/apply. Take a chance, everybody. Take a chance at love. You never know what can happen. You could find the love of your life, or you could end up on the beaches of paradise. You never know. Something good's going to happen, though.
Like Brian said, you might find your love. You never know. So go ahead, give it a try. But thank you so much. We love y'all. We listen to your DMs. We look at the comments. We see the likes. Message us on social at Talking Out, B as in Bachelor, N as in Nation on IG. And keep listening to us on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or where you're listening to right now. And babe, you already know, don't hit me up no more until you hit that subscribe. Love y'all.